right now, we've got Susan Brown here in the studio at the Chapel Hill Public Library for another round of Talking Books. Feeling better this week as well. So how are you?
I'm feeling so much better than last week.
The crud is still going around, though.
Yes, I finally sucked it up, and the town has a clinic, which is great.
Right, right.
It helps offset control some of our insurance costs. It's a place where employees can go for basic things.
Awesome.
And I finally went and sucked it up and got some antibiotics
there you go.
And some cough syrup, and I'm a new woman.
Good.
Because
which is awesome because now you can celebrate the fact that Chapel Hill is in the running for best library of all time in the world anywhere, right?
It's actually in the universe.
In the universe, okay.
Yes. So I do want to start by returning to last week,
okay,
that fateful
good.
Week
yes.
when I almost had to... I actually did exit
did
the
have
studio
to leave.
Because I was coughing, but I was here. And thank goodness Mary Williams was on the phone last
Who
week to
awesome,
fill in
by
for
the
me.
Way. Yeah.
She's awesome. And I just wanted to say that last week we had our Frederick Douglass kickoff event
yes.
on Thursday night, and it was amazing.
Yes.
We had about 250 people come together to
nice.
See the world premiere of Tarish Pipkin's Puppet. We will still get him on the show with us mm-hmm. because he's got several more performances coming up. And then Mary, oh my gosh, she had everybody smiling and clapping and mm-hmm. singing and tearing up, and it was an amazing night. So I do want to mention, before we talk about the best library in the universe of all time in the history of the world
right.
award, there are, of course, many, many more Frederick Douglass events coming up. In fact, this is just the first of many. So I want to mention that next Monday, February 5th, mm-hmm. the town of Carrboro is celebrating Frederick Douglass and the commemoration of the 200th anniversary of his birth. And at that one, it's at the Century Center. It's Monday night. And Mr. James Williams, who you've had on this show, mm-hmm. Michelle Lanier, who's the ED of the North Carolina African American Heritage Commission, and Jackie Shelton Green will be coming together to talk about
this
Frederick
is gonna be
Douglass.
Good. Yeah.
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 And then, of course, we have, as we move further into February, there are more and more things. So you can go to the library's website, to the Orange County website. You can just Google Orange County and Frederick Douglass, and you will see a whole list of things.
Awesome. Yeah. It's really cool, including Jigetto. Tarish Pipkin is going to be coming back to the library in less than a month. So
yes, and
yeah.
he's also going to do two performances at local middle and high schools.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's a really unique experience because I was sitting there and I felt like, first of all, the puppet was alive.
Right.
And
right.
second of all, he was only speaking to me.
Yes.
There were 250 course,
yeah.
people sitting there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Frederick Douglass was speaking to
it's
me.
It's the eyes. It looks like he's looking at you no matter
yeah.
where in the room you're sitting.
And I will say the beautiful thing about it, I didn't know how Tarish was going to frame it. So Mary really gave us a talk and through words and song of his whole life. Jigetto's
mm-hmm.
performance is really interesting because it's Douglass when he's in old age, but he's reflecting on his childhood.
Okay.
And he goes through the just utter brutality of slavery.
Yeah.
Reflecting on his childhood. So his mother, his grandmother, his experience of being sold as a young child and moved mm-hmm. from household to household. It's really powerful. So I encourage you to seek out any and all of these events. And that one in particular is a really unique and special thing.
And still a lot coming up. I know there's a lot in February, but then March and April as well. So this goes on for
Correct.
Another few months. Cool. So that's going on. That will continue to go on for a while. Partly put on by the Chapel Hill Public mm-hmm. Library, which is in the running for best library in the whole wide universe.
That's right. We are. So this is this thing that's happening.
Yes.
And I'm getting...
We're not kidding about this.
Right.
They're
yeah,
actually
yeah, yeah.
up for this legitimate award.
So we are getting lots of questions about this. So
uh-huh.
I'll give you the whole story.
Okay.
So there's a group called ELGL,
mm-hmm.
which stands for Engaging Local Government Leaders. And it's a national group. They call themselves a big tent group who are... They are about promoting local government, engaging the next round of leadership of local government, really highlighting the innovation, the creativity, and the passion that's out there in local governments across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another organization called ICMA, which is the International City County Managers Association. They've been around forever. They're
right.
a great group. This ELGL group is a little bit funkier,
yeah.
a little bit,
the
they
new,
have a little bit different
contemporary,
angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
both are needed and both both are great.
Yes.
So this ELGL group, they've just been around for a couple of years, and they've really built up a following and a great reputation pretty quickly. They do all kinds of fun things. So one thing they've done last year, they did, so they have, sorry, first of all, back step. Right. Hold up.
The library was invented in 1236.
So, the other thing about ELGL is much of their content and much of their perspective is framed by the great TV show Parks and Recreation.
Oh, nice, okay? Nice.
So, last year, they came up with the Leslie Knope Award. And Leslie Knope was the sort of central figure of the right. show Parks and Recreation, which is all about local government. So last year, the Leslie Knope Award was given to the best city hall in the country. So there was this competition for the best city hall. And I forget who got that last year. But this year, it's for the best public library. Now, to be clear,
yes,
this is not based on any measurements of outcome or impact or merit.
Why would
this
they?
Is a straight up popularity,
popularity contest. It is your votes, America.
And
I know there are people outside Chapel Hill that are listening to this. All the country.
Hello, Aaron's mom.
Hi, hi, mom and dad. How are you? Yeah.
So, and they're doing it bracket style.
Nice.
Okay, so they had the first thing. They just opened it up, a huge call. Any library in the country, nominate a public library. And then based on the voting, mm-hmm. the round of 32 happens.
Okay.
So we're in the round of 32.
Awesome.
Voting is this week.
So already we're one of the top 32 libraries
32
in the country.
Most popular. Most, I mean, to be clear.
Yes, yes. 32 most popular. Hey, on a per capita basis, though, right? I mean,
right.
are we in the running with, like, New York and Boston and Chicago and
so
whatnot?
Here's the thing. A lot of these mm-hmm. are in college towns.
Okay, okay.
A lot of these are in, you know, kind of, so capitals also. So, like, yeah. Williamsburg, Virginia.
Okay,
Little Rock, Chattanooga, Frederick, Maryland. But they do have two brackets. So on the show Parks and Recreation, mm-hmm. It's focused on the Parks and Rec Department in this fictional town called Pawnee, Indiana. And the sort of arch nemesis and the running joke is that the arch nemesis of the head of the Parks and Rec Department uh-huh. is the town's librarian.
Yeah.
She's also his ex-wife, but she's played by, what's her name? She was on Will and Grace.
Megan Mullally?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And her
Nick
husband,
Offerman is,
Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right.
They're a real-life couple. So they play her up as this sort of boozy, over-sexed librarian who's just ridiculous.
Yes.
So there's two brackets. There's the Ron Swanson bracket. We're in the Tammy Swanson bracket.
Nice.
So in the round of 32, we are up against the public library in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Oh, we can beat them.
But that's a town of like 400,000, right?
Can still
so talking
beat them.
About the per capita,
we
have to get the word out because you can only vote once per round.
Oh, so this isn't like go on and vote once per day.
Right. All that means is you come to the library, my staff will be happy to help you set up 15 different library or Gmail accounts, and you can vote from each of them.
Good.
We're happy to help you do that.
Okay, good, good.
So I think the voting closes, let me check, on the 2nd. So you have till the 2nd to get your vote in, put it on your Facebook page, put it on your Twitter, because we would like to advance to the next round.
Yes. Well, who's in the bracket, who's in the next bracket if we win? It's either one of two.
So
does
I
it say?
Know.
Does it
right.
say? Or?
Well, I guess we would go up against. If I'm reading this right, mm-hmm. it would be us versus the winner of the Cedar Rapids and St. Louis.
Okay.
If I'm reading this right.
Okay.
And then the other bracket, though, I don't know how brackets work.
The Tammy
I just
bracket.
Fill out my thing
right,
in March
right.
and I pay my $2 and I enter something.
And then you lose the $2, right?
Right.
Every single time.
I've never won.
I don't think anyone ever wins those brackets. I think it's just a big money pit.
There is no other library in North Carolina, though, on this.
Nice.
So, yes, I don't know who we'd be up against, but just vote. I would say vote early and often, but you can't vote often.
Yes, you can. Make,
well,
you
I mean,
can
you
vote
can.
Multiple
right.
times
we
if you have a whole bunch
that.
Of Gmail. Do you have to have a Gmail account? Is that
no,
how it works? Or just
any
email account?
Any
oh.
email. Any email. I was just saying Gmail.
Oh, good. So my old Hotmail account from
yes,
days gone by
resurrect
still
that.
Okay?
AOL.
Great. Done.
All
done.
Of them.
Love it.
I've totally done that. I have like four different emails. I voted on all of them.
This is really just an award for the most unscrupulous library in America.
We are. Yes. So that's one thing about Tammy that is true. We are unscrupulous at our core. Yes, it's really, really fun. It's just a fun thing to get everybody, you know, engaged and have some fun. So
what's
yes.
the website? Where do people go to do that?
ELGL.org. And there will be a big banner up there that talks about this contest. So you can click on that and click through till you see our bracket and then click vote here.
ELGL.org. Go there. Awesome.
So should we talk about books
let's
now?
Let's talk about books. Do you want to talk about humanities first?
Oh, I did want to mention that. Yes.
We'll get to books eventually.
Actually,
we're not even going to get to books today. We're going to get to other things.
We're going to get to other books-ish. I did want to mention we have a new program that we're starting. It is, and the first one is coming up very soon. Let me find it. Saturday, February 3rd at 2 mm-hmm. o'clock. This is a program that we're trying out with a new partner. So one of our standing partners is the UNC program in the Public Humanities. They
Carolina
changed
Public
their name.
Humanities.
Carolina Public Humanities.
Yeah.
Sorry, Max, I got your name wrong. Which they now do a show here.
Yes.
But also out in the park, there's the National Humanities Center. And so this is a partnership with them, and it's a program series called Conversations with Scholars. And so the idea is to bring the scholar down from the ivory tower mm-hmm. and out from their office down into the public library. And this is really a focus on the sort of personal aspects of scholarship. So why did these scholars, so for example, our first one is Keith Howard, who's actually at the University of London, who's talking about the politics of music in Korea. So he's not just talking about that topic, but also how does one get into studying the politics of music in Korea? So it's both the academic side of it and the personal side, which I think is kind of a cool angle on this.
I also like the extent, I assume there's going to be a little bit of K-pop in this too, right?
So, I would hope so.
Yeah, because which is like amazingly political, right? Like Gangnam Style, which is the huge thing that exploded all over the world. It's a really radical song, actually, if you know what the lyrics are and what they mean.
Which I don't.
Tub Thumping was the same way.
I should look these up because my kids sing them all the time. If they shouldn't be singing them or if there's some subversive thing going on.
It's sticking it to the man.
Okay, all right.
Sticking it to the man with really specific references to like ritzy Korean neighborhoods. So we in America have no idea what any of this means. But in Korea, they know exactly what it means.
Yeah.
And it's great. Yeah.
So this is the first in a series. So hop on the library website, and future topics are health, gender, and nation building in Latin America, understanding modern slavery, women, culture, and violence in contemporary India. So again, these are pretty esoteric topics, but what I love about this series is they're not just humanizing the topic, they're humanizing the scholar behind
them.
That's
awesome.
So if that sounds interesting to you, again, hop on our website and you'll see there's a whole series of them. Come to one, come to all. They should be something interesting and something new for us that we've never done before.
ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org, right?
You got it.
All right. Speaking with Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, let's talk bookish things.
Or not books.
Or
so
not
we were
books,
chatting
not
beforehand.
Books, yeah.
We didn't really come up with a topic.
We've got New Year's resolutions. We're reading things or we're not reading things.
Right. So then we talked about, well, maybe we'll talk about what we're reading, but we're sort of reading, not reading
we're
things.
We're not reading
You're
things.
Going to the,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to out you. You're going to the movies.
I'm going to the movies.
You've chosen movies over
I have
books.
Said this on the air a couple of times that last week Tuesday the Oscar nominations came out. I looked at the Best Picture nominees, of which there are 9 because that's the way they're doing it now, and I realized that I had seen literally 0 of the 9, like many of us, I'm sure. So I'm like, okay, I need to at least address this a little bit. So ever since then, and for the last week and a day now, I have made it a mission to go to the theaters and get movies on DVD and see as many of the Best Picture nominees as possible that I want to see. I have no interest in seeing Phantom Thread. I have no interest
That's the one that I really want to see.
Have you seen it though?
No.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to see that.
Saw The Shape of Water though, right?
I did see The Shape of Water.
Which, speaking of bookish things, have you heard that there's accusation of plagiarism?
Plagiarism on
because
The Shape of Water.
It's riffing on an old, was it not Richard Peck story, but some 60s, 70s era young adult novel.
About a woman who falls in love with a...
And she's a janitor.
And she's
and
a janitor and falls
yes.
in love with a fish man. And
yes.
yeah. So maybe a little bit, or maybe coincidence. I don't even know.
Who knows?
But I saw that. I saw Get Out, finally.
I actually saw that one when it came out.
That's a really good movie, right? Really, really good. I saw, yes, it's really leaving an impression on me. Oh, God, what was the movie? I just went to the theaters and saw Lady Bird. That was the one.
Oh, I really want to see that
one. That is a really, like, in spite of the fact that I just forgot the title, it is a really, really good movie. It's really well done. I'm seeing Three Billboards outside Epping, Missouri tonight. And like Dunkirk is queued up to be delivered to me via Netflix, which still sends DVDs. You just have to choose the option.
Do they really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They still do. You have to pay extra for the option, but they still do. And it's great. Then you don't have to wait for them to like come available on streaming. It's just, they're all available whenever you want. Brad and I are seeing The Post soon, but the one that I really, really want to recommend, the one that I've been raving about for ever since I saw it last week, Thursday, and I maybe have now seen it twice, is Call Me By Your Name, which is based on a novel that came out in 2007.
That's right.
Yep.
Have you read the novel?
I have not, and I looked up the plot synopsis for that novel, and it just, reading the synopsis bored the bejesus out of me. A lot of my favorite movies that are based on plays or novels or musicals, I'll go back and I'll just look at the original source material and I'm just like, nope, I like the changes they made.
Right.
I like the changes to the plot, the themes, the characters, and everything else. So reading the plot synopsis for Call Me By Your Name is like, this is a different book. This is not what I just saw. I like what I just saw.
Right.
Yeah.
Many books.
Yeah.
So there are many cases where the movie is actually better than the book.
Is actually better than the book. Apparently the book is really good, but yeah.
So I've not been going to the movies.
Yes.
But I have, now this is still reading, but it's reading in a different way.
Yes.
So I was just going to talk briefly about, for a long time, I have not done audiobooks.
Right.
They either always made me sleepy, I could never keep my focus, my mind wandered. Somebody once told me it's because I'm an aural reader rather than a visual reader. Mm-hmm. So my husband's a visual reader. When he reads a book, he sees the pictures in his mind. So he rarely likes to see movies of books because it's different, right?
Yeah.
So years ago, somebody said, well, that's because you're an aural reader. You don't see the pictures, but you hear the people talking. So audiobooks don't make sense for you. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what clicked for me recently. I have caught the audiobook bug. And I've got so many friends and colleagues who have been like, we told you. What took you so long? So I have to say, I'm still reading tree books and ebooks, but I'm also reading audiobooks. And it's a totally different experience.
Yeah.
For me, it helps me. I've been trying to walk more and get some more movement in my day because left to my druthers, I'll be in front of my screen working,
of
like
course.
So many of us. So I started with walking. I actually started by listening to podcasts more, which I've gotten into those, and now it's morphed into audiobooks. And now, as I told somebody, they're like, I don't really like audiobooks, but I'd like to have more time to read. And as I told them, I was like, I read in the shower now. They're like, what do you mean? I was like, well, if I take my paper book in the shower, that's no good. But
right.
Now I can put it on the Bluetooth. And I can read while, like, I can listen to a book while I'm showering.
Yeah.
I've just upped my reading time. So
how high do you have to crank up the volume to do
oh,
that?
Oh, full blast.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So everyone else in the house is like, Mom, shut up.
So
we don't want to know how it ends. You're on the last chapter. I'm reading this.
And then I like, yes. And then when they're fighting, I just put in my earbuds and my book.
That
and I'm
makes
having
it
a great
real
time.
Convenient. Yeah.
So a couple of things that I've listened to lately. One of the big, big books right now, it's one of these post-Gillian Flynn, these sort of psychological thrillers. It's a book called The Woman in the Window. And it's a great book. It's sort of, it's got all of these super nerdy references to like Hitchcock movies and film noir, and there's this psychological puzzle in the middle of it. That was excellent on audiobook. But what I'm currently listening to, and I'm going to bring it back to movies because this is going to be coming out as a movie soon.
Yes.
I'd read this book twice. I'm currently listening to Ready Player One by Ernest Cline on audiobook, and it's read by Will Wheaton.
Of course.
It is awesome. It's like a totally different book.
What is the experience of like hearing a book that you've already read?
It's to me, it's a different book. It's a totally different experience. And I'm learning with audiobook junkies, it's all about the narrator. Like there are people who will listen to a book they wouldn't normally pick up or have an interest in if it's read by a certain narrator.
Okay.
So I'm learning what I like and who I like. And I will say, thanks to the audio, so at the library, you can download ebooks and you can download audiobooks. So we have books on CD still, but we also have through our Overdrive service, and their new app is called Libby. I think it's easier than ever to download audiobooks.
Nice.
So I download audiobooks to my phone. As I said, I put it on the Bluetooth, I put it in my earbuds, and I am a convert. So that's what I am reading slash not reading these days.
I like it.
And it counts as reading, I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, can I make an audiobook suggestion to
you?
Do it. Harry Potter.
Jim Dale, though, people are crazy about him.
They're really, like, people legitimately fell in love with those. Yeah.
I'll try it.
Yeah.
I will.
Just book one. If you don't fall in love, I'm sure
you won't.
Aaron? It's fine.
I'll
yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so cool.
Yeah,
that's it.
We talked books and we didn't talk books.
And we didn't talk
and
books.
And we filled up the time.
Sounds
until
good.
Until next week.
All right, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org for more on all of the Humanities Scholars events, and elgl.org to go online. Use every single email address that you have accumulated over the course of the years. I know you've got several. I've got one for work. I've got one for non-work. I've got one that I always put in whenever I have to fill in an email address, and I know I'm just going to get spam from this forever. So there's three right there.
Right?
So I think I'm okay. Yeah, sounds good. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks.